Welcome to the Deep Dive. This is where we take the sources, the research, sometimes the really stunning headlines, and we try to give you the full context. Today, we're diving deep into the music business, and specifically this question of, well, how much is non-human creativity actually worth? Because honestly, the numbers hitting the news lately are genuinely shocking. We were talking about monetizing AI-generated music. There's this second major reported record deal for an AI artist called Monet. You might also see it stylized as Zainaya Monat. Mm-hmm. Anyway, sources are saying the bidding for this deal got up to almost $3
million. $3
million? Yeah, $3 million. For a musical artist that doesn't, you know, physically exist.
It's a huge statement, isn't it, about where the industry might be heading.
But also just a massive gamble.
Oh, absolutely. A colossal gamble. And what's really fascinating here is who's taking the bet? This deal, signed by Hollywood Media, that's the label led by Neil Jacobson, you know, the former Interscope executive.
Yeah.
And if you were following that first big AI music story, that name, Hollywood, should ring a bell. They're the same label that signed the very first reported AI artist, I'm Oliver.
So they're doubling down.
Exactly, doubling down. When a label puts millions behind something this, let's say, legally volatile, it signals a total commercial commitment. They're basically saying, loud and clear, AI songs are valuable, they can generate revenue.
Mm-hmm.
So our mission today is really to unpack how they can possibly justify that $3 million valuation. Especially when, as we'll get into, the whole legal foundation for actually collecting money on these tracks is, well, it's shaky at best, like a leaky sieve, maybe.
Okay.
We need to look at the creative side, the intense industry pushback, and yeah, those huge legal and publishing messes.
Yeah. Okay, let's start with the music itself, the thing that supposedly warrants this price tag. So the music was made using Suno, right? That AI platform anyone can pretty much access.
Mm-hmm, that's Lumer.
And if you listen to Monet's stuff, the voice is, well, it's instantly recognizable. Or maybe a blend of recognizable voices.
Yeah, that's what people are saying.
It gets described as this kind of amalgamation of huge stars. Specifically, people hear Beyoncé's power vocals.
Right.
Mixed with, say, Ariana Grande's range. Maybe some Jennifer Hudson soul in there. And that cool Rihanna confidence.
It's like a Frankenstein's monster of pop voices.
Yeah. Synthesized entirely from machine prompts.
And that familiarity, that sort of high quality vocal proxy, that's definitely key to why it connects with people. But it doesn't solve the technical problems. We've talked about this before, right? The sound quality thing with generative music.
Yeah, that kind of buzzy sound.
Exactly. While the tracks are clearly produced, they often still have that audible artifacting, that slight synthetic metallic sheen or buzzy high-end that kind of gives away its AI.
Right.
But here's the kicker. The metrics, they show listeners. Well, they don't seem to care that much about those production flaws if the song itself connects emotionally.
Mm, really?
Yeah. Monet has racked up over 9.8 million streams overall. That's significant. And the artist has actually achieved real-world chart success. Placed on Billboard's Emerging Artist List, number 25.
Okay.
Charted on Hot Gospel Songs, number 21. And critically, hit number one on R&B digital sales.
Number one.
Number one. One specific AI song mentioned in the sources. Around 2.3 million streams just on its own. People are actively listening to this stuff, buying it even.
Okay. That success does seem pretty undeniable.
Yeah.
But that brings us right back to Hollywood Media's big calculated risk, because you have to compare this to their first try, right, with I'm Oliver.
Exactly. That's the context.
When I'm Oliver got signed, the hype was huge. Their song Stone got, what, 3 million streams on Suno itself?
Yeah, impressive numbers on the source platform.
Looked like a guaranteed hit, ready for the big leagues, you know, Spotify, Apple Music.
But then the virality just collapsed, completely fell apart when it moved platforms.
Right.
That 3 million Suno stream count, it translated to only about 8,000 streams on Spotify.
8,000 from 3 million. Wow.
Yeah, like a 99.7% drop off. It's a huge difference.
Yeah.
And it really shows that interest in the, like, the novelty of AI music doesn't always mean you'll get a sustainable audience on major platforms.
So why then? Why would Hollywood immediately turn around and bet $3 million on Monet after that first experience?
Well, that's the gamble, isn't it? They're betting that Monet's ability to actually chart, to sell digital copies. That means this second attempt has cracked the code, solved that translation problem.
Mm-hmm.
They're betting $3 million that this is the version of the AI success story that actually works outside Suno's you know, sandbox environment.
It really is a high-stakes poker game.
Yeah.
Okay, but here's where the human element makes the ownership picture even murkier.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just a machine spitting out code. The person generating the music for Monet is Talisha Jones. She's identified as a lyricist, a poet.
Right, the human creator involved.
And apparently the quality of her lyrics is, well, pretty good, according to the sources.
Okay.
So Jones, understandably, feels pretty confident she owns the recordings and the compositions. She points to Suno's terms of service.
The fine print.
Yeah, for paid subscribers, it says something like, you own the outputs that you create. Simple enough.
Well, theoretically, yeah, that it should probably cover the sound recording, the master track.
Okay.
But the sources mention this crucial kind of muddy detail. There are questions about how it was made. It wasn't just lyrics and simple text prompts being fed into the AI.
Yeah.
Sources suggest there were maybe live elements put into the creation process, too.
Live elements? Like what? Vocals? Samples?
It's not specified, but that raises a huge question for Hallwood, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Does that human input, those potential, maybe partial vocal recordings or musical ideas, does that actually solve the copyright problem, make the track legitimately ownable?
Or does it just make the inevitable lawsuit even messier?
Exactly.
Yeah.
By mixing potentially copyrighted human input with this unverified AI-generated data.
Thanks. Okay.
Which brings us perfectly to the broader industry reaction.
Yeah.
Because it's fascinating, who wasn't bidding high for Monet?
The major labels.
Conspicuously absent from the top bids, yes. And this makes total sense when you realize the major labels are, right now, suing Suno and other generative AI platforms.
Oh, right. Bad optics, maybe?
It's more than optics. It's hard to justify signing an artist from a platform you're actively trying to, you know, shut down in court.
Makes sense.
But this reluctance from the majors, it's fundamentally about protecting their current business model.
Right.
Which, if you step back, leads us to a kind of historical truth.
Okay.
Commercializing sound isn't new. We shouldn't be surprised corporations want to make money off popular sounds, however they're made.
Right. Like you said, it goes way back.
Way back. 1877, Thomas Edison invents the tinfoil phonograph.
The first time sound could be caught and
sold. Exactly. Before that, sound was just gone. Suddenly it could be captured, replicated, and crucially turned into profit.
Mm.
So now, fast forward 150 years, the labels, who, let's be honest, resisted change before, think about tape recorders, MP3s, digital downloads.
Yeah, they fought all of those.
They're asking the same basic question they always ask. If the public is listening to this, if it's popular, why wouldn't we find a way to commercialize it?
Regardless of the source.
Pretty much. But that financial drive is slamming right into really strong emotional pushback from human creators.
Understandably.
Yeah, they see this as like an existential threat. And we're not just talking about, you know, unknown artists. Successful creators are speaking out.
Like who?
Well, take Connie. She's got, what, over 27 million monthly listeners on Spotify, a big artist.
Oh, okay.
She's quoted saying AI in the creative arts is beyond out of our control. She sees these deals as actively, quote, destroying the market for human creators who've worked their whole lives.
Yeah, I can see that perspective.
The core criticism isn't just about lost jobs, though. It's about devaluing the work itself.
Oh, so?
These AI deals, they argue, are destroying the pricing structure for human creativity. And they're de-incentivizing the intense effort, the time, the skill needed for genuinely original human work. Why bother if an AI can get a $1 million deal?
Hmm, that's a powerful argument.
And we're already seeing platforms react to this pressure, right?
You mentioned Deezer.
Yeah, Deezer is apparently starting to mark or fingerprint AI-created music, so listeners at least know what they're hearing. Transparency.
Okay. But the biggest hurdle for Hallwood's $3 million bet isn't really public opinion or even artist backlash, is it?
No. The real monster under the bed is the legal structure, specifically around publishing royalties.
The money trail.
This is the absolute core of this whole deep dive. When you sign a record deal, when you value music, you're essentially buying two key things that make money.
Okay.
First, the sound recording. That's often called the master. Think of it like the final produced track you hear.
Got it.
Second, the composition. That's the underlying intellectual property. The melody, the bass line, the lyrics, the guitar riff, the song itself written down.
Okay, master and composition, like buying the car versus buying the engine blueprints.
That's a great analogy, yeah.
Yeah.
If you buy the master, you've bought the car. It's ready to drive, generate streaming revenue right away.
Mm-hmm. But if you don't clearly own the composition, the blueprints, You can't guarantee its long-term value. You can't control future uses, covers, things like that. The composition is usually the reliable long-term moneymaker.
And the ownership of the composition for Monet. That's the problem.
That's the central problem. Because the origin of the training data Suno used to generate the melody, the rhythm, it's unknown, or at least not public.
Because Suno won't say or can't say.
That's basically what the big lawsuits are about right now. If that AI was trained on copyrighted melodies belonging to, say, existing artists, then Hallwood cannot confidently claim they own the composition Monet generated.
Even with Talisha Jones's lyrics.
The lyrics might be hers, but the melody, the harmony generated by the AI, that's the legal minefield.
Okay. And if you can't claim ownership of the composition,
then you likely can't collect the biggest, most stable, long-term revenue stream, publishing royalties.
From the PROs. Performance rights organizations. Exactly. SCAP, BMI, the groups that collect and pay out money when a song gets played on the radio, used in a movie, performed live, streamed.
And what are they saying about AI music?
Well, their guidance is pretty stark right now. BMI, Broadcast Music Inc., flat out says it does not accept registrations for fully AI-generated works, period.
Wow, okay. Not ambiguous at all.
Nope. Yeah. And for partially AI-generated works, maybe like Monet with human lyrics, DMI's stance is currently not at this time, and they're waiting on guidance from the U.S. Copyright Office.
So a hard no? Or maybe later, but probably no.
Pretty much. And the other big one, SCAP, American Society of Composers, Authors, and Publishers, they basically echo BMI.
The same position.
Largely. Fully AI-generated songs, ineligible for registration because, crucially, they're currently considered ineligible for copyright protection in the U.S.
Right. The authorship question.
Exactly. For partial registration, SCAP says it depends, again, pointing to U.S. Copyright Office guidance.
So, bottom line. Collecting traditional publishing royalties on AI music right now is,
at best, a huge question mark. But in most practical cases, it's looking like a hard no as things stand today.
So how is a $3 million valuation possibly justified if the main, most reliable long-term revenue stream is basically blocked?
That is the multi-million dollar question, isn't it? If you can't guarantee that publishing income.
Yeah.
The only way to justify spending $3 million up front is, well, you're betting heavily. You're betting the legal landscape changes, like, really fast in your favor.
Sure.
Or you're prioritizing other, maybe more volatile income streams, like sync licensing.
Getting the song into movies, TV shows, ads.
Right. Where the master recording itself has immediate value, even if the composition rights are murky.
So they're paying $3 million for potential.
Yeah.
And maybe some quick master side revenue.
Essentially, yes. They're paying for the hope the law changes. And for that initial, potentially short-lived streaming revenue from the master, it's a staggering leap of faith.
Driven purely by Monet's market success, the streams, the chart positions.
Completely. That connection is overriding the legal chaos for now.
And that success, whatever the legal reality, seems to be holding for some AI acts, right? It's not just Monet.
It's interesting. We are seeing some stabilization. You mentioned I'm Oliver Fading and other bands like the Velvet Sundown. They apparently peaked around 1 million monthly listeners on Spotify, but then dropped off quite a bit, down to maybe 300,000.
Okay, so some fade.
But then you have another AI act, Aventus. They seem to be holding really strong. Over 500,000 monthly listeners on Spotify consistently.
500,000. Still significant.
Definitely. The persistence of Aventus, Monet's charting, it suggests that for a decent number of listeners, that emotional connection, or maybe the lyrics from someone like Talisha Jones, or just the song hitting at the right time, it simply outweighs that synthetic metallic sheen you hear in the production.
Yeah.
The connection feels real to them, even if the technical quality isn't perfect and the legal ground is basically quicksand.
Which brings us back to why the industry, or parts of it like Hallwood, might be pushing this so hard. It makes you wonder, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Is the industry or some players prioritizing AI music partly to, well, eliminate the traditional hassles, the difficulties of working with artists?
You mean like?
Like no more waiting for inspiration to strike, no more missed deadlines, no more tricky personality clashes or creative differences.
Just prompt engineers delivering reliable, high-performing output on demand.
Yeah. That efficiency has got to be a massive incentive for a business.
It certainly changes the equation.
Right.
So we're left with this huge core tension, right?
Seems like it.
On one side, you've got Monet. Demonstrably successful AI artist, multi-million dollar deal, number one digital sales. That's commercial validation, plain and simple.
Hmm.
But on the other side, the entire legal and publishing framework, you absolutely need to support that $3 million value long term to ensure revenue collection.
Yeah.
It's currently unstable, ambiguous, or based on PRO guidance, just non-existent right now.
So Hollywood is sailing a $3 million ship into totally uncharted, stormy legal waters.
That sums it up pretty well.
Okay, so here's a final thought then for you, the listener, to chew on. If a human lyricist's work like Talisha Jones's, combined with an AI avatar and a voice that deliberately mimics existing superstars, if that package can rack up millions of streams at top charts despite obvious production flaws and crippling legal uncertainty, does that suggest that maybe, just maybe, emotional connection and sheer speed to market now fundamentally outweigh technical perfection and legal stability in today's music industry?
It's a provocative question.
Think about that next time you hear a song you just can't get out of your head. Where did it really come from? And does it even matter anymore?